Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Can Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi podcast. I am your host, the Artificial Dragon.
I'm your co-host, Darth Celine.
And welcome to episode 73 of the podcast, everybody. It has been delayed by a week or two, but that was only because I was a little preoccupied with compiling the previous episode and waiting for the Patreon art piece that was for my dear co-host over there.
Thank you again.
You are very welcome. But yes, welcome to episode 73. And at the time of his recording, it is October 2nd. So yes, this is officially
the spoopy season
or the witching hour if you're old fashioned. But or Halloween. The spoopy season. Yes, probably one of my most favorite months of the year, as well as a favorite month for you too, Hannah.
I love October.
Oh yeah, October is such a fun time, and I already see all the candy being piled up to be bought for the trick-or-treaters and all that stuff.
My dude, if you look at the back of Walmart, they have Christmas shit out.
Yeah.
Already.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of memes of, I forget what scary movie it was, but, it's Ghostface. He's going up the, stairs, then he's running away from the piano, and it's him running away from Christmas decorations.
That's funny.
But yes, marketing for holidays aside, I am very excited for Halloween and what shenanigans you guys will be getting up to for our Curse of Strahd sessions this month.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, you guys just entered the Amber Temple, which is already the scariest motherfucking place in all of Barovia.
Yep, we thought handling bandits was fine, then we met a very special enemy. And we're, I'll tell you what, boys, it ain't looking good.
You got kidnapped.
I got kidnapped.
Everybody's pretty much roughed up. Hannah's character got slaughtered and taken away by the darkness. So, yeah, fun
dead.
Time. Not
she's
dead.
Kidnapped.
Yeah, she's been kidnapped by my very special, all-powerful witchling.
And, boss, I'm looking at you.
Yes, but I'm looking forward to how you guys defeat the Sith Witchling in the Amber Temple.
You already beat it once, but that was with a Mandalorian and a flamethrower.
And a motherfucking C4 that blew it to smithereens.
Yes.
But yes, I'm kind of interested, but D&D stuff aside, let's go ahead and get into the self-promotion part of his podcast. So as everybody knows, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/canmail. Once again, that's patreon.com/canmail. For any patron that contributes to the highest and the mid-tier, which is $5 and $10 respectively, you will be able to select future topics for Patreon exclusive episodes. We're currently voting for the next one as we speak. So if you guys are interested in us talking about a certain character, technology, event, what have you, from Star Wars, we'll be sure to make sure that you put it in the Patreon exclusive channel in the Discord. And of course, the Discord server is open to everybody, where you could talk to fellow fans, share Star Wars memes, and have a wonderful time with me and Hannah as we complain about our everyday life.
Yep.
But yes, for this, well, technically last month's Patreon art piece, we have a sexy Darth Maul.
Chippendale Maul.
He decided, being a Dark Lord of a Sith and assassin is boring. Let's see what I could do in Vegas.
He went to Nar Shaddaa.
He just went to Nar Shaddaa, that is true.
Instead of forming the Crimson Dawn, he just went to Nar Shaddaa and became a male.
Hey, he may not be able to conquer the galaxy, but he's going to be able to conquer the hearts of all the women across the galaxy.
Yes.
Who will pay top dollar to see that banging tattooed body. I'm looking at you, Hannah. But yes, if you are interested in Chippendale Maul, you will get him contributing to the highest contributing
the highest tier,
which is the consular, which is $10 a month. You could grab him, make him into your poster, your wallpaper, or whatever. I'm pretty sure I know Hannah has him as her wallpaper right now.
No, actually, I do
not.
Oh,
you didn't? Okay.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you're about to, I suspect.
I still like the art of my dad, so.
That is true. That is true. That is a higher priority than that. Yeah.
Family, especially deceased loved ones, come before simping.
That is very fair, Hannah. But yes, support our Patreon. We always appreciate the love and support that you provide to us. And speaking of love and support, let me go ahead and give a shout out to all the highest tier patrons that have been supporting us for the past 3 years. Give me a minute here. There you are. Shout out to Alan Lee, Y Wolves, Cameron Lee, Dr. Emboss, Gobez, Lee Fott, Milo, and Tristan H. Thank you, everybody, so much for supporting our Patreon. And I am looking forward to what future shenanigans me and my co-host will be up to. But speaking of future shenanigans, I am hoping, very, very hoping, that we'll be able to get back to our book club reading episode. I have been listening to Yoda Dark Rendezvous for the second time, but I suspect you haven't cracked at that hardcover, have you, Hannah?
Take a wild guess.
Yes, yes you have.
I have been busy with a lot of other shit, you know this.
I understand, Hannah, but hopefully we'll be able to get around to it in like November, maybe December.
If push comes to shove, I'll listen to the fucking audio.
That would be a very wise choice, Hannah, but it's always good to bring along the hardcover for reference and yes. All that. But yes, I'm hoping we could get started with our next book club reading episode, because Yoda Dark Rendezvous is so good, Hannah. I think you might like it. But anyway, before we continue off the episode, shout out to your blog, Hannah.
I was waiting for you to say it. Support Celine's Cantina, pretty please.
Support Celine's Cantina. Yeah, I haven't been able to get around to reading any recent stuff, but I'll throw a question your way when I can.
You keep saying that, but my motivation's been in the shitter lately, so.
Yeah, with the numerous things that have been happening on your side of life, that's understandable. But anywho, yeah, as always, support Celine's Cantina. It always helps with her motivation, but you've been doing a lot of other interesting stuff, like getting around to playing KOTOR.
I completed the Dark Side run of KOTOR 1.
Yep.
And moved on to KOTOR 2. I am enjoying KOTOR 2 so far.
That's good.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly need to get around to playing that game, but I'm a little bit scared too, since it's a very old game and it crashes frequently from what I've heard.
KOTOR does. KOTOR 2 doesn't.
Oh, that's good. Okay, it's a lot more stable than the first game, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, with that aside, let us get started with this topic of this episode. Hannah, what are we doing today?
We're going to be covering the enemies of the Empire, the Rebel Alliance.
Yes, the Rebel Alliance, the poster child of a goody-goody two-shoe faction of Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah, we have covered all the other factions from the prequel.
We covered a good amount of factions.
Oh, yes, we did. With the Separatist Alliance, then the Republic or Grand Army of the Republic. The Senate, the Empire. And now we go to the other side of things with the good guys, the original protagonists of the original trilogy.
Nice.
But yeah, the Rebel Alliance, How do I start with these guys? They are fairly interesting. They are meant to be if the Empire is meant to be a representation of Nazi Germany, then the Rebel Alliance is pretty much the Allied part of that allegory, or with the French Resistance.
The Allies.
Yeah, that too. But it's mostly based off of the guerrilla fighters, the resistance fighters that have been occupied by Nazi Germany for a good part of World War II, such as France and all that. But, yeah, the Rebel Alliance, let me go ahead and start with a nice little quote from Mr. Bail Organa. "We agree that the time for diplomacy and politics has passed. It is now time for action. Therefore, Let this be an official declaration of rebellion. Today, we all vow to change the galaxy, and one day, the galaxy will indeed be free. But yeah, the Rebel Alliance, better known by its full name, the Alliance to Restore the Republic. It also goes by the Alliance to Restore Freedom to the Galaxy. The Alliance, or simply, the Rebellion.
It's called the Rebellion. Shit ton, and they're the Empire.
Oh yes, it is. And the Rebellion is a loose alliance of planetary, system, and sector-level insurgency factions. And they all came together under one banner for one common goal. And that is destroying the Galactic Empire. Very, very obvious. It kind of has, the Rebel Alliance has its origins way back during the beginning of the Clone Wars, with many insurgent factions being backed by the Republic to fight back the occupation of the Separatists. One prominent example would be the Onderon Resistance, led by Saw Gerrera and his boys. But most prominently, it had its true roots within a faction of Republic senators called the Delegation of 2000, if you remember from the Padme episode. I'll basically make it short for here. The Delegation of 2000 was basically spearheaded by a bunch of senators who believed that wanted Palpatine to basically give up his emergency powers and allow the power to go back to the Senate instead of keeping it to himself and all that. We kind of know how that went. Palpatine, in his bid to form the Galactic Empire, become Emperor, and all that stuff. The Delegation of 2000 was spearheaded by Bail Organa of Alderaan, Mon Mothma of Chandrilla, and Padme Amidala of Naboo. Yeah. And despite what you might think, Palpatine, he was immensely popular among the citizens of the Republic, and a majority of the Senate was firmly committed to his decision-making skills. Like in that famous scene from Revenge of the Sith, where he declares a new order. He wasn't met with boos or anything like that. He was met with applause, and causing Padme to do that quote of, "So this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause." After his declaration of a new order, one of the first things that Palpatine did was basically imprison or exile the senators who signed the Petition of 2000, or in other cases, just outright executed them under charges for basically betraying for high treason and betraying the Galactic Empire and all that. And Padme, for her part, kind of recommended that Mon Mothma and Bail Organa kind of withdraw their names from the Petition of 2000 because she didn't want her closest allies to die in this. So basically, the Empire, so we know of the popular thing, the Empire comes in, oppresses numerous worlds and all that stuff with its brutal, overwhelming military power and all that. The Empire basically enforced a law of fear by using its military force to discourage ideas of insurrection amongst the worlds of the Outer Rim and all that. But this did little to incite rebellions across the numerous other territories of the Empire. Like, barely a year after the end of the Clone Wars, there would be minor insurrections here and there. And ironically, one of the first worlds that resisted imperialization by the Empire was the Emperor's homeworld of Naboo, who was led by Queen Apeliana. But she was quickly put down by the 501st Legion. But she and Naboo would not be the first planets that would rebel against the Empire, or at least have some sort of resistance against the Empire. Another prominent example was the Free Ryloth movement, led by Cham Syndulla, who originally, his movement was backed by the Republic to liberate his world from the Separatists, but then their very own allies turned against them. It's a lot of backstabbing here and there. And then, of course, in the Outer Rim, there's the Separatist holdouts, who are the remnants of a Separatist alliance, who fought till the bitter end against the Empire. And the very creation of the Empire kind of galvanized their idea that the Republic was turning into a corrupt system, and that it no longer served democracy. Like, there's this one episode of The Bad Batch where this Separatist senator basically said, peace was never an option. Dooku was a visionary, and he warned us about the coming of the Galactic Empire, that sort of thing. Bail Organa was one of a few people that realized that open rebellion against the Empire was basically an act in futility, as he needed to build up his power in secret so that the Emperor doesn't, you know, immediately squash his resistance and all that. Also on top of that, he was well aware that the common people weren't interested in beginning another war when the Clone Wars had recently ended. In my research of this topic, there's always a common thread with how wars are continued and ending. Public opinion might change. Like, okay, we've been fighting for too long. We're not going anywhere. Let's just sue for peace and let's go back to normal everyday living. That's how many wars nearly ended, because of public opinion being swayed and saying we want our boys back, which is how the Vietnam War ended. That's kind of a...
The Vietnam War wasn't a popular war.
No, it was not. And this is the same kind of mindset you gotta consider for why, if the Empire was so bad, so evil, and did a lot of oppression across the galaxy, why didn't people rebel sooner? Well, they recently got out of the Clone Wars, and they're not exactly down with resuming another war. They just want to go back to their lives and all that. But, Bail Organa would kind of bide his time and build up political allies alongside Mon Mothma. And for the time being, he would build up his forces in secret with help from operatives such as good old Ahsoka Tano, who served under the identity of Fulcrum. And he would kind of provide funding as well as other things for numerous resistance groups across the galaxy. One of them, arguably the most famous one, would be the Ghost Crew from the Rebel TV show and all that. They were just pockets or cells of resistance that eventually grew into this larger Rebel Alliance over time. According to legends, however, the rebellion was formed through the machinations of Darth Vader, who ordered his secret apprentice, Galen Merrick, to gather the enemies of the Emperor, basically to create a diversion while Vader and Galen Merrick build up their plans to overthrow the Emperor. This is all covered in the Force Unleashed games, if you're interested.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, but that was kind of the entire plot. Like, Galen Merrick would go out and kill Jedi, then Vader tasked him with making a rebellion to distract the Emperor. But long story short, Palpatine knew about that all along. He basically wanted to gather all of his enemies in one room and then kill them with one stone, sort of thing. And then betrayed Galen Merrick in the process. But long story short, Galen Merrick would sacrifice himself to ensure the safety of those rebel leaders. Even Palpatine, who looked at the corpse of Galen Merrick, looked at Vader and he was like, "You must be relentless, Lord Vader. If even a single rebel survives, this very rebellion that we have created will be our undoing." So if you really think about it, on one side of the stone, it was really the Emperor that shot himself in the foot with that little operation.
But he didn't want to pin it on himself.
Yeah.
He fucked up.
And then after that, the rebellion, to honor the sacrifice of Galen Merrick, decided to adopt his family's crest, the Galen family crest, into the Alliance Firestar. And this is the coin that I have right here of the Alliance Firestar.
Oh, I never knew what that was. Okay.
Yep, this is the Galen family crest. adopted into the symbol of a rebellion. But on the canon side, let me see. The Starbird originated from a stylized Phoenix design, commonly used as graffiti by Sabine Wren, who is the Mandalorian member of the Rebel crew. And it would eventually be adopted into the formalized design used by the Rebellion. Although, regardless of either of the origins of how the Rebellion was founded, in both canon and legends, the Rebel Alliance was formally formed in 2 years before the Battle of Yavin via an official declaration by Mon Mothma and the former signing of the Corellia Treaty. They kind of declared their rebellion through a document known as the Declaration of Rebellion, crafted by Mon Mothma and addressed directly to Emperor Palpatine. And this document is incredibly long, so I'll give you just the ending snippet. The history of the present Galactic Empire is of repeated injuries upon its members, with a direct objective of establishing you, Emperor Palpatine, as the absolute tyrant over the galaxy. You have disbanded the Senate, the voice of the people. You have instituted a policy of blatant racism and genocide across the non-human peoples of the galaxy. You have overthrown the chosen leaders of planets, replacing them with moths and governors of your choice. You have raised taxes without the consult of those taxed. You have murdered and imprisoned millions without benefit of trial. You have unlawfully taken land and property. You have expanded the military far beyond what is necessary and prudent for the sole purpose of oppressing your subjects. We, the Rebel Alliance, do therefore in the name and by the authority of the free beings of the galaxy, solemnly publish and declare our intentions to fight and oppose you and your forces by any and all means at our disposal, to refuse any imperial law contrary to the rights of free beings, to bring about your destruction and the destruction of the Galactic Empire, to make forever free all beings in the galaxy. To these ends, we pledge our property, our honor, and our lives. And that was declared directly to Emperor Palpatine by Mon Mothma, by the way.
Nice.
Say what you will about Mon Mothma, but she's got balls of steel, or what would be the female version of that?
Ovaries of steel.
There we go. Ovaries of tungsten, Hannah. But yeah, this the Declaration of Rebellion was a document that was spread via millions of copies to many allied forces of a rebellion, and it stirred many systems into openly declaring their support of a rebel alliance. Predictably, this also stirred the Empire's ire, who swiftly and immediately suppressed those systems. And thus, the Galactic Civil War officially began. The main conflict that you see in the original trilogy in that era of Star Wars.
Yep.
But yeah, the Rebel Alliance, arguably, is one of the more morally good factions in all of Star Wars. Like, the Separatist Alliance did have noble goals of creating independence and equal rights for all people in the galaxy, but it was still headed by, you know, Count Dooku, Grievous, and those mega corporations. But for the
Palpatine pulling the strings.
Yeah. I imagine the Rebel Alliance is very similar to the Confederacy without Sith intervention, but it still had a good amount of flaws, even though the movies portrayed them as the good guy factions that could do no wrong, that sort of thing. Kind of the same thing with the Empire, who was depicted as a pure bad guy faction. It just makes it a lot more interesting with the novels like the Thrawn trilogy and all that, kind of expanding on the darker aspects and the lighter aspects of both factions.
Oh, yeah. Especially like with Borsk Velia being on the, you know, council.
Yeah.
and he was doing all the Bothan shit behind him,
yeah,
behind Leia's back.
Especially
fucking hates him.
Yeah, especially with a Bothan spy network. They are the shadiest motherfuckers that could ever work for the Rebel Alliance. But, yeah, I think it's kind of one of the interesting points, and one of the things I actually appreciate about the new canon of Star Wars, exploring the darker aspects of a Rebel Alliance and all that.
Yeah,
because...
You pointed that out in the EU, too.
Yeah, the EU, but just more arguably because we as the audience, not Star Wars fans, we as the audience are more familiar with the good guys that could do no wrong, and then Rogue One came along and showed us the darker aspects of the rebellion.
I haven't seen Rogue One, so.
It is such a good movie, Hannah. That, okay, I know you've kind of seen Solo, but we need to rewatch some Star Wars movies together.
Yep.
But, yeah, the rebellion, it's kind of important to remember that the rebellion is kind of a melting pot of numerous factions across the galaxy, like freedom fighters, members of a former republic, former members of a separatist alliance, even the former imperial defectors compose a good majority of the alliance. And like I said, it's a huge melting pot. And unlike the Empire, they do accept aliens of all kinds.
No, you can see aliens all over in the original trilogy.
Yeah, especially with the Mon Calamari. Obviously, the Bothans are another one, as shady as they are. But that's another thing. Even in the Battlefront 2 games, you have a selection of numerous aliens to play as for your soldier in those games.
Yep, Twi'leks.
Zabrax.
Yeah, Zabrax. I think Aqualish, too.
Yeah, Aqualish are in there, too. Mon Calamari, so on and so forth. But they also employ a lot of other shady characters. Like, a lot of their rebel cells are glorified terrorist organizations. Like,
but they're the good guys.
The good guys. And have, you know, there's always that common meme of Chopper and members of a rebel crew.
Chopper's a war criminal. Everyone knows that.
Like I said, there's always that common meme that the main characters of Rebels commonly commit war crimes as much as we like to sweep it under the rug every once in a while.
Chopper does the most.
Oh yes, oh yes. Like there's this one scene where what was his name? Zeb was told to knock out Kanan and Ezra, who are disguised as stormtroopers all the time. And he knocked them the fuck out. And one of the stormtroopers was like, they're taking prisoners. Wait, they do that now?
That's funny.
But it also makes the implication that rebels do not take prisoners.
Oh. Yeah, it just went. Sorry. Yeah, so rebels don't take prisoners. That's not reassuring.
But I think, okay, it's not that they want to absolutely kill everybody. It's more of a pragmatic standpoint. Because the Rebellion is a small coalition of forces. They don't exactly have access to massive prison complexes like the Empire does. So they can't exactly take prisoners, put them in a cell, feed them, clothe them, all that sort of thing. So they don't really have an option in the matter. It's either let them go or kill them. But most of the time, it's just kill. But yeah, the Rebel Alliance is divided into two different groups. The first one is the civil government, and the second is the military. And they're led by the Chief of State and the Commander-in-Chief, respectively, during the entirety of a Galactic Civil War. Both titles were filled in by Mon Mothma. The civil government was responsible for handling the numerous jobs of every planetary civil government, including protecting the Alliance's people, revenue gathering, the maintenance of vital systems, and foreign relations. So they're the guys that that deal with the money laundering, supplies, and all that fun stuff. Usually these roles were left to each member world or government of the Alliance, like, say, Odoran or Mon Cala, for example. The Chief of State, sometimes called Chief Consular, is the head of state for rebellion and is seen as, quote, an elected dictatorship. Isn't that just the most backwards sounding title ever? An elected dictatorship?
An elected dictatorship. That's an oxymoron.
Exactly. And Mon Mothma is effectively a dictator.
I don't like that.
And, yeah, she has unlimited authority over the civilian government. But, to her credit, the chief of state has many checks and balances to ensure they don't overstep their position in the form of the advisory council, which is like their advisors, basically.
Duh. Advisory council, basically advisors.
Yeah. There were elections every 2 years for who will fill the chief of state, but it was kind of made redundant given that Mon Mothma was the chief of state for the rebellion's entire existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just another way of saying, hey, democracy is here.
Yeah, we're still upholding democracy, totally.
Like I said, the rebellion are kind of the good guys, quote unquote.
Good.
But kind of to, I suppose, to play devil's advocate here, Mon Mothma was much more reasonable compared to Palpatine, if you think about it. But, yeah, the advisory council is second only to the chief of state, and it is composed of representatives of 7 allied governments who had given the most lives in battle to defeat the empire. Some of these members come from Alderaan, Mon Cala, and Solas, being prominent members of the council. Next to the advisory council is the alliance cabinet, which consists of ministers who run the everyday operations of the alliance. So think of like the dark council and their spheres of influence, but for the alliance. And they are personally selected by Mon Mothma for their devotion, intelligence, and capability. There are 6 ministries, such as the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Education, Ministry of State, Ministry of Industry, Ministry of Supply, and the Ministry of War. And then below them are the Allied Commands, who are the individual local governments of planets, sectors, organizations, and groups that are members of the Alliance. And then there's the Alliance Military, which is the main force charged with combating the Empire. Like I said before, it's a highly diverse group. And below them are the Chief of Staff and the 7 Supreme Allied Commanders of the Alliance High Command. And it is noted for its unique amalgamation, reflecting its alliance on the centralized Alliance Fleet, Alliance Starfire Corps, local planetary military forces, and resistance cells. Fleet Command is controls the Allied Fleet with Admiral Gale Akbar serving as the supreme commander of the Alliance military. So yeah, there's just a lot of organizations to go through, but I'll go through them as quickly as possible. There's the Special Forces Command that control the Alliance Special Forces and Alliance Intelligence. The Sector Commander oversaw the thousands of Sector Forces who form the non-Special Forces element of the Alliance Army. Among other organizations are the Signal Intelligence, Alliance Diplomatic Corps, and the Rebel Navy, the aquatic version, not the space version of the Navy.
Yeah.
While the Alliance makes use of older military hardware, such as converted old Separatist and Republic vessels into its fleet, they have obtained newer equipment via the black market, or through help from sympathetic corporations that have been slowly nationalized by the Empire, by accidentally giving up their software to the Rebel Alliance. Notice the air quotes there. Like, for example, there's this company called Incom Corporation that leaked the location of 4 prototype X-Wing fighters, along with its blueprints to the Alliance for them to steal. Notice the air quotes throughout this entire episode, Hannah. But yeah, let me give you a couple of images of the Alliance Navy and all that, because they are pretty interesting, and it's just a huge conglomeration of ancient and newer fighters and all that. Yeah. And I know there is a good amount of nerds out there that would love for us to go through the individual StarCraft of each faction. But we'll get to that in their own
episode. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Not for this episode, anyway. But we'll save it for their own dedicated episode. But I think they are pretty interesting. Even then, even with all of these numerous resources at their disposal, even the Alliance was still considered the underdog against the sheer juggernaut of the Galactic Empire. But they managed to get a break when the Alliance retrieved the plans of the Death Star, soon followed by the dissolving of the Imperial Senate, because, you know, the Death Star was basically the check and balances to suppress worlds that rebelled against the Empire and all of that. It was basically Palpatine saying, hey, the people are no longer in control. Submit or we'll blow up your planets.
That's a good way to get people to fucking knock off whatever they're doing.
That is true, but it kind of came back to bite them in the ass after Tarkin blew up Alderaan.
Like, okay, we're not afraid of you. Goodbye.
But yeah, it's like Alderaan, the destruction of Alderaan basically proved as a piece of propaganda to recruit more members to the side of the Alliance and all of that. And it just galvanized the survivors of Alderaan, like Princess Leia, for example. And it was even further galvanized with the destruction of the Death Star by some unknown rebel pilot. But yeah, after the Battle of Yavin 4 and the destruction of the Death Star, the Empire was all like, oh no, okay, we need to take the Rebel Alliance seriously because, oh my god, they got the oomph to back it up, basically. And even with the additional allies that they got, such as the Mon Calamari and the Boffin Spinet, the Rebel Alliance still suffered many defeats, given that they were relentlessly pursued by Darth Vader and his personal unit called Death Squadron, which is basically a small fleet of Vaders that's led by his Executor Superclass Star Destroyer. When you have the literal Supreme Commander of the Empire and his unit after your ass, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
But after a little bit of hit-and-run tactics, the Rebel Alliance would have their share of losses and minor victories. But it all culminated in the Battle of Endor, where they destroyed the second Death Star and led to the death of not only Palpatine, but also Vader himself, which was a huge morale win for the Rebel Alliance. And after that, barely a week after the Battle of Endor, Mon Mothma decided to push forward with his victory by renaming the Rebel Alliance into the Alliance of Free Planets, which is a form of transitional government between the Rebellion, which was, in all honesty, more of a military resistance than an actual legitimate government. There was this meeting called the First Conference of Free Peoples, which was to convene to tackle many issues related to internal governance and the formation of a more permanent body. And 1 week after that, with the creation of the Alliance, they were able to liberate Coruscant and therefore became the New Republic.
Yep.
And even though the Rebel Alliance sounds like a pretty important faction, it barely lasted 8 years.
How long did the Empire last?
19. But yes, the Rebel Alliance founded 2 years before the Battle of Yavin, and the Battle of Endor was 6 years after the Battle of Yavin. So yeah, 8 years in total. But in all honesty, it's actually a little bit older than the Separatist Alliance, which I think is super bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rebel Alliance, it's interesting in its own sort of way. I kind of gleamed over the details of like its troops, its tactics and all that. But Yeah, aside from its darker elements, it's kind of your typical good guy faction that could do no wrong.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. But yeah, as I gleamed over with the elective dictatorship, it, yeah, it's kind of interesting in that regard. But yeah, do you have any personal opinions on the Rebel Alliance, Hannah?
Not really. Like I've said in multiple videos before, the Alliance just is not my cup of tea.
That is fair. You're more into the bad guy factions.
Can't help it.
But no, like, I do personally prefer the Separatist Alliance because it is made out of purely good intentions, at least the majority. The leadership was,
leadership was flawed.
Yeah, the leadership was heavily flawed. Now, if it wasn't directed by Palpatine and his machinations, it would have been a legitimately good faction, but it was ultimately created as a puppet state for the Sith.
Yep.
The Rebel Alliance, it does have its unique points, like the numerous alien factions that you have to work with, and it's purely a huge underdog faction, which overcomes overwhelming odds. Its origins are fairly interesting. Mon Mothma is fairly interesting. And the numerous, like, butting heads with the numerous resistance cells of the Rebel Alliance is kind of interesting in a narrative sense. Like, you remember Garm Bill Eblis from Corellia?
Yep.
He was one of the founding leaders of a Rebel Alliance, but he butted heads with Mon Mothma all the time.
It took Coruscant being under threat for them to work together.
Exactly. And in the middle of a galactic civil war, Garm was all like, fuck you, Mon Mothma. I'm going to make my own Rebel Alliance. And also kind of the same thing with Saw Gerrera, who did not hesitate to commit terrorist acts against the Empire. Like, there was this one instance where he and his group of partisans infiltrated this noble family's palace to gun down some important Imperial officials that were there for a party and all that. And he didn't care about all the other innocents that got caught up in the attack, because everybody's guilty. Everybody working for the Empire is guilty. But then afterwards, he found out that those people were kind of forced to work for the Empire. Which I think is kind of interesting in that regard. But for Rebel Alliance, it's one of those important factions. Kind of a mandatory episode for us to cover on. I'm sure there's a lot of For the Rebellion people out there. Like,
sure.
Like everybody is a huge simp for the Empire sort of slogan. But yeah, that is our episode of Can Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi? Or in this case, For the Rebellion.
For the Empire.
Of course, you're the Empire simp over there, Hannah.
No shit!
But yeah, this is a nice, short, sweet episode, and yeah, it was actually kind of fun to cover, kind of refresh my knowledge of the Rebel Alliance. Not a completely huge fan of them either, but I think there are some interesting things about them. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And got any closing statements for us, Anna?
Oh, unfortunately. I'm blanking.
Yeah. But anyway, may the Force be with you.
And this is the way.
This is the way. May the Schwartz be with you. Bye-bye.